In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, Most Merciful. Praise and thanks be to Allah, the Lord of Existence. His Prophet advised with guidance and to follow the religion of righteousness to establish it over the entire faith, and to embrace Allah as the only one to whom we depend upon, and to proclaim that there is no God but Allah and there is no one but Him in existence, to which all praise and gratitude be towards, provider of life and death, and He is all-knowing and capable of His creation, and to proclaim that Muhammad is His believer and prophet. O Allah, place praise and peace and increase the blessing over our teacher, the Prophet Muhammad, as regards to his worth and divine or great stature. And may Allah embrace the four descendants, the great and pious leaders, Abu Bakr, Umar, Osman, and Ali, and the rest of the descendants, and the followers, and those who followed them with dedication, and those that relished their lives with faith, and fill their existence with your grace, blessing, and great mercy, O Most Gracious. O Allah, open the gates for us, O Most Merciful. Allow us, enable us to become from the most truthful and faithful, O Lord of Existence. O Allah, enable us to become from the most faithful, and place us between the most faithful to you, and take our lives and reward us on the Day of Judgment as you would reward those most faithful to you. Now, to begin, my dear brothers and sisters, the basis of a person's success and their happiness in life, it is initiated or it originates from their marital life. A person, for example, might get aggravated from a vehicle. The solution is to go and replace it with a new one. A person, on the other hand, may be infuriated by a house. The solution, he may go and buy a new one. One may also be disturbed of a certain trade, so they could change their field of work. But a marital life in Islam is a life of fate or destiny, meaning if you are blessed with children from your wife, it is considered to be an arduous feat to separate from her or to ruin the household. Realize that both separation and dysfunction will lead to the neglect of the children, the loss of the children, and it will lead to the convergence of the children to a more sordid and sinful lifestyle. And for that, my dear brothers and sisters, when Islam ordained marriage, it announced the upholding of marital rights. It proclaimed to place standards that would support the marital relationship, and it placed rights of both partners over the other. You see, you realize there are rights of a woman over her husband, and rights of a husband over his wife. The outcome of a Muslim's life is completely different from the outcome of the surrounding generations. A Muslim is a unique individual, dedicated to his responsibilities, to his duties, to priorities, but a modern-day average person worries about what that person can do for themselves, being selfish. But a Muslim, a follower of the ways of Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, questions what are their duties towards the others around them. This is the true nature of the philosophy of Islam. It springs the relationship amongst people and each other according to their duties towards one another before relating to themselves, before they even ask for their personal rights. This is the nature of the lessons taught by our dearest Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him. A man once approached Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, and asked, "What are the rights of my wife towards me?" You realize, my brothers, he asks about the rights of his wife, not that of his over his wife. He concerns himself with that of his duties towards his wife and not his personal interests. On the other hand, a woman came to Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, and asked, "I am a single woman and I want to be married. Tell me of my husband's rights over me." Yet again, my dear brothers and sisters, the woman asks for her husband's rights and not for her own. For you realize this truly is a prominent example of what Islam produces from people. A person who is concerned with what he or she owes, their duties to others with what he or she owes yet again, and their priorities and not about themselves. Praise our Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him. Today, my dear brothers and sisters, our topic of discussion is to understand, to comprehend the rights of a wife, the rights of a woman over her husband, the rights of a woman yet again over her man. What are these rights? The rights established by our beliefs, by our faith, by Islam. There are 6 rights of a woman, of a wife over her husband, 6 duties that a husband must perform towards his wife. The first right to be performed by the husband, the first duty to be performed by that husband to his wife, is to be moderate in spending. The second is to be generous in her relationship. The third, to uphold her honor. Fourth, to support and relate to her beliefs. Fifth is for the man, the husband, to hold a good relationship with her family. And lastly, the duty of a husband toward his wife is to respect his wife. Now to continue, as we have mentioned previously, now the first right for a woman over her husband, or for the first duty for the husband to perform towards his wife, is for the husband to be moderate in spending. Not for her to moderate in spending the husband's money, no, but for the husband to be moderate in spending over his wife. For Allah says, provide them with their needs, provide them with their clothing in a just manner, not to overspend or not to be too conservative. And based on our Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, he said, and from her rights over you is to provide her with her food, with her clothing, in the best and most righteous way. Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, also said, he is not from amongst our nation, whomever is blessed by wealth from Allah and is not fulfilling financially to his wife and children. He is truly not amongst the Muslims, for the Prophet also states, a small portion of money you spend to the will of Allah, to slaughter an animal, to give to the poor, to spend on your family. The most rewarding is that which you spend on your family. This is the greatest sum of money to Allah that you can truly spend, more so than what you give to the will of Allah, more so than helping the needy. That is not to say for us not to perform these other deeds. No. But money spent on your family righteously is dearly, and it is the best rewarded in the end. Furthermore, scholars say that whomever spends to the will of Allah has done it before. But one who does not spend on their family is maybe doing so to torment them and make them suffer. And for that, Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, wanted to protect the household from dysfunction, to protect the household from torment. Thus, he stated, the most valuable deed placed in a person's record on the Day of Judgment is his spending on his wife. Al-Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, your children, your wives, they are your captives. As Allah blesses you, bless them, for if you do not, as Allah gave you, he shall take from you. So be diligent, be decent, be generous yet moderate when spending on your wives. These expenses are a duty that a husband must perform for their wives, even if she has an inheritance, even if she works and earns a salary. This is her right to demand from her husband. But this right is dropped. This right is nullified only under one circumstance. One circumstance that abolishes the right of a woman to demand expenses from her husband. This circumstance is when the woman loses faith of the general goal or picture of marriage. For example, if the man desires his wife, and she denies him for no excuse whatsoever, then, as a result, she vanquishes her right. She vanquishes that right, that duty for her husband that he must perform. If she left the household without informing her husband, without asking for her husband's permission, by her own free will, by her own stubbornness, and by her own intentions, she has dropped her rights in our belief system. So, my brothers, even if your wives have an inheritance, even if they work and earn a salary, her first right is for you, my brothers, to be generous yet moderate in your spending over your wives. To continue, the second right of a wife over her husband is for the husband to be kind in the relationship with his wife. Allah says, "Live with them with kindness, forgiveness, and live with them with mercy." A husband must be kind, he must be forgiving, he must be merciful. For if your wives commit a mistake, overreact, be calm, my brothers, be gentle, be kind, be forgiving, and show her some mercy. Scholars say that husbands should not trace after their wives. They should not investigate their every move, so long as she is upholding her honor. As Sheikh Abu Hamid al-Ghazali said, "Be kind to your wives does not mean do not harm her, but to be patient with her if she harms you." For sometimes, my brothers, a woman may not necessarily be herself. She may lose her equilibrium. She may exaggerate. Your duty, my dear brothers, is to be patient, to be forgiving, not to add fuel to the fire, because it is her right for you to be kind. It is her right for you to be merciful, to be forgiving. You never know. Maybe Allah brought this upon you, into your life, this hardship, to elevate your stature. Maybe Allah wants to allow you entrance into paradise because of your harmful wife. Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, said, "Whomever displayed patience with an intolerable wife, Allah blessed him as he did Ayyub." So in the end, my brothers, kindness is not just avoiding to inflict harm upon your wives. No, it is not that at all. It is to be patient, to be forgiving, no matter how much harm she may inflict. Also, being kind is by trusting your wife and not lacking in it. Do not look at her in a suggestive way. Do not cause her, this poor creature, to break down. For I swear to Allah, treating your wives with kindness, it is more rewarding than being moderate in spending on her. For no house runs out of food and desired necessities. For a woman is a willing person to even a simple dry meal, and then she will go to sleep without complaint. But a woman cannot be insulted with harsh words and comments of distrust. And for that, our Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, he forbids this and states, "The only type of jealousy that Allah may permit is that in the event the wife had past experiences with heinous deeds." You are ordered by Allah, you are advised by Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, to be forgiving. Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "A man must exhibit three aspects to truly be kind to his wife. One, to always give her the impression that he supports her decisions, even if he has a different opinion. Second is to show kindness and respect in conduct and treating her. Third, he must be presentable in front of her." Aisha, peace be upon her, said, she was once asked about what Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, did once he entered his dwelling. Yet again she said, "As-suwak." The scholars would question every detail as to why Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, would first use the suwak. They later on elucidated this aspect. They explained it They said because the first thing he would do was to kiss his wife, praise and peace be upon him, for his mouth odor might be altered, so he would correct it by using the suwak before he kissed his wife. For it is the wife's right for her husband to be presentable for her. Al-Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, he was once seen by a man fixing his beard. The man told him, how can you be doing that if you are one of the 10 guaranteed entrants into paradise? Al-Imam Ali replied, to earn a woman's delight, you must be presentable. Would you like to have your wife see you looking unpresentable? No. Neither would I, nor would she, answered the man. Al-Imam Ali then replied yet again, then a woman favors what you favor. She appreciates what you appreciate, and she hates what you hate. Ibn Abbas was once seen by one of his students named Nafa. Nafa saw a Sheikh Ibn Abbas looking at the mirror, fixing his beard. Nafa said, how can you stare at the mirror like this, and everyone looks up to you? How can you stare at the mirror, and you set precedence for perfection? As Sheikh Ibn Abbas replied, I tend to my appearance for my wife, as she does for me, for Allah has ordered this. So you see, my brothers, you realize, my brothers, kindness is being patient with your wives, to place trust and confidence as regards to her, to tend to your appearance for her, and to tell her soft, tender words, and tell her how beautiful she is. Some may say, how can we tell our wives sweet words if there is nothing sweet about them? Then lie, because lying between partners sometimes leads to improvement of a marital relationship. So even if Allah bestowed a fat wife upon you, and whenever she sat on your lap, it feels as if a mountain sat on it, tell her it was my dying wish from Allah to bless me with a big woman such as yourself, to fill up my life and eyes with your greatness. Think of anything. Be creative. Make her feel happy and secure about herself. Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, said, when a husband tells his wife that he loves her, it never leaves her heart. This statement was analyzed by several psychologists and proven to be exact. Fear the hellfire, my brothers, even by sharing a date, a single date, a single fruit with someone. Be polite, be kind, and the one most deserving of that is truly your wives. The third right of a woman over her husband is for the husband to preserve, to protect her pride and honor, make her feel that you are jealous over her, that you are careful with her, that you care or see no other woman on this world as you see her. Al-Imam Ali, peace be upon him, walked in on Fatima, and she was using the suwak. He looked at her, and then he looked at the suwak, and he recited verses of poetry to illustrate how jealous he felt from the suwak. How pleased do you truly think a Sayyida Fatima was, knowing that her husband cares this much about her? Also, protect her honor by not releasing her secrets, the secrets that she confines in you. Don't release her secrets, for those men account to a decent population of the inhabitants of the hellfire. It is not gentility when you say, I did this, and this, and this, and I did all of these things for her, and she did nothing for me. You do not reveal anything about your personal life, especially your wife, either a detail about her physical feature or the way she acts with you. Akhtham ibn Sayfi, when he was asked, differentiate to us between a kind man and a treacherous man. He answered, a kind man is a person who does not reveal his wife's secrets, not even to his children, but rather a treacherous man, a conniving, deceiving person, is one who reveals his wife's secrets even to her enemies. So uphold and protect your wife's honor by also, whenever you ask something of her, praise and mention Allah. For example, give me a glass of water. May Allah bless you. May Allah grant you paradise. May Allah bestow happiness upon you. Tell her these words so that she does not feel like a servant. Even the maid is thanked for the duty that she performs. So imagine your wife, the mother of your children, the partner of your life. You should be thankful to every deed she performs. Please her with gentle, kind words. Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, said, "Whomever assists you, then reward them. And if you cannot, then say something gentle and polite." The wife of Anas ibn Malik, on an occasion, Anas came with a friend and told his wife, "Prepare dinner for us." So his wife spoke, and his friend heard, "Anas, take your friend and leave." Anas then said, "Woman, prepare dinner for me and my friend." She answered, "Anas, take your friend and leave." Then he replied, "I swear to Allah, if you do not prepare dinner, I will complain to Allah about you." She said, "Anas, complain or not, 20 years ago, you complained to Allah about al-Hajjaj, and nothing happened." Regardless of him being a companion of the Prophet or not, he must treat his wife with kindness. He must respect his wife. So the third right of a wife, or the duty of a husband to his wife, is to protect her honor. The fourth right of a wife over her husband, or the duty of a husband over his wife, is to respect her for who she is and for her belongings, to respect her integrity. There is financial privacy, financial integrity that pertains to a wife. A husband must protect it. He must not invade it and deprive the wife from it. There are some men, though, that when their wives are blessed by Allah with money, they seize it forcefully from their wives. No, Allah forbids this, my brothers. Some say or act, but not allowing their wives to have a bank account. It is her right. If she had elderly parents whose health is declined, a brother or sister who is financially deprived, she can help them, she can aid them. Your duty is to stand by her side and to respect her privacy. How dare you, brother, to interfere into something that Allah blessed her with? Yes, you may advise her, you may guide her, but not take over what is not yours. It is her right to own money, to help and spend it as she sees fit. It is none of your concern, none of your business. A mature woman would ask her husband about his opinion. That is all you provide. Nothing more. If she gives money to you, it is out of her own kindness and charity, not being forced to do so. And that part does not exceed more than one third. As Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, said, the remaining two thirds are from the husband's pocket. Meaning, if both husband and wife work, a wife is only allowed to pay one third of anything that they purchase, anything that they buy. The man pays two-thirds because the man, in the end, would inherit more money than a woman. And thus, a man, a husband, must spend more based on our belief system, my brothers. I advise all of the sisters in the nation of Islam to hold their own private bank accounts. She has an account and her husband has his own separate account to avoid the mischief and treachery that remains hidden in time to be unveiled when Allah forbid major marital feuds occur. And if any of the brothers do not favor what I say, they must then understand, you must then comprehend, brothers, that you possess heinous false intentions. For there are rights passed forth by Allah, ordained by Allah, and these rights should be rightfully followed. The fifth right of a woman over her husband is to or for the husband to ask about her faith, to preserve her beliefs. Before you question your wives about the cooking and what's for dinner, question her duties as a Muslim. Your duty, my brothers, is to preserve her faith, to preserve your wife's faith, as you would do to your own. Some men, though, they think that so long as their wives are obedient, take care of their children, then there is no need to bother her with prayers and her duties as a Muslim. Then that is the farthest thought in mind. Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, says, all women are bound to the necks of their husbands on the Day of Judgment. What does this quote mean? It means, my brothers, that when a woman stands forth, she stands before Allah on the Day of Judgment, she will be asked about her actions, and she will blame her own husband for not guiding her, for not forbidding her, from not advising her to pray, to wear hijab, to take part in good deeds, all of which the husband shall be punished for on the Day of Judgment. Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, also said, a woman about to enter the hellfire will scream out and say, O Allah, do not enter me into the hellfire before my husband enters it. You realize now, brothers, it is your duty and her right from you to preserve her faith and guide her to the righteous path. Some men, regretfully, also tend to threaten their wives, or else they will divorce them. The word divorce no longer carries the strong meaning that it did because of how much men ever so frequently utilize it. The word divorce, which shakes the throne of the heavens and the earth, the word is so frequently misused nowadays to a point that the wives themselves no longer concern themselves with it. If you men once informed Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, that there are men who take advantage of the word divorce, who take advantage of the word talaq, to control their wives, the Prophet states in anger, they dare test the limitations of Allah's provisions, and I am amongst you? So the fifth right is to support, to preserve her faith and belief. The sixth and final right of a woman or wife over her husband, or the sixth and final duty of a husband toward his wife, is to hold a good relationship with her parents, to respect and conduct himself with her parents as if he would do so with his own family. Some brothers shamefully and regretfully forbid their wives from visiting their families by creating blockades and barriers to prevent their wives from seeing their families. The point of our faith, my brothers, is not just being kind to your wife, but also being kind to her family as well. Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, said, no one who cuts off, who terminates a relationship with another's parents shall enter paradise. Other men use it as a means of leverage. Do this, then I shall allow you to call them. Perform this duty, and I will allow you, permit you to go and visit them. My brothers, this is her right. You dare deprive her of the right to go and see her own family? As Sayyida Aisha used to say that whenever they slaughtered an animal, then Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, would say, divide some and distribute amongst the friends of Aisha. Prophet Muhammad used to be kind even to her own friends. So imagine how Prophet Muhammad would treat her own parents. Whenever Prophet Muhammad used to see his mother-in-law, as Sayyida Ruman, Aisha would say, never a time when my mother came and Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, he would get up, greet her, and seat her in his own place. He would say, whomever would like to see a lady, a dweller of paradise, then look at Ruman. And when she died, Prophet Muhammad buried her, and he cried, and he prayed from Allah to forgive her and greet her into paradise. For the better you treat your wife's family, that treatment is reflected upon your marital life, brothers. In conclusion, my dear brothers and sisters, let us revise the six rights of a woman, of a wife over her husband, the six duties of a man, of a husband over his wife. The first right is for the husband to be moderate, to be generous in spending over his wife, to exhibit gentility in relating to her, in treating her, in conducting with her, to uphold her pride and honor, to support, to preserve her faith and beliefs. For a man to hold a good relationship with her family, and lastly, to respect her financial integrity. So in the end, my brothers, we ask from Allah to bless these days for us, to bless them so that they are devout of shame and scandal. A good deed never goes undone, and a sin never goes unpunished, and the Creator is immortal, Allah is ever-existent. Do as you please, my brothers, do as you please. You reap what you sow, for every action you shall be judged. Or as the Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, said, ask from Allah, praise to Allah, and be certain he shall reply.